We miss college football.
Drops back, pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline, and it's intercepted. Intercepted, Keely Ringo at the 21. Off he goes, 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30, near sideline. Breaks the tackle, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, 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 Georgia. Let the celebration begin.
We can't wait for the 2022 season.
Rice gets it, backpedals onto the end zone. Loads up, looks long. He's got good.
And we're counting down the days to kickoff.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
I said no.
Are we there yet?
What's wrong with your ears?
Here is your college football fix, only on the Zach Gelb Show.
Well, we don't count week zero, but if you're a fan of Nebraska, you're probably saying, yeah, what that guy just said. Holy smokes, what a dumb decision by Scott Frost over the weekend. We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. Week one is here for the college football season. Can't wait to just watch football, football, and more football over and over and over again each and every Saturday throughout the fall and then also leading into the winter. Let's head out to the guest line right now. Welcome in a former quarterback of Penn State. Now does a great job as an analyst for the Fields of 12, and that is Christian Hackenberg. Christian, how you been?
I've been good, man. Appreciate you having me on again.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. How about what Nebraska did over the weekend? They have the lead, and then they just cut the field in half and gave the ball to the opposition. I didn't get that call by Scott Frost.
Yeah, I mean, my take on Scott this year heading in was, you know, I think he was going to be aggressive, but I think you got to kind of toe the line. They really got who.
Well, there's a difference being aggressive and then just being stupid. That was stupid.
Exactly. And, you know, I think a lot of credit to Northwestern. I was really impressed with the way the Holinsky kid played and, you know, especially the expectations and some of the reports I got from up there wasn't looking that great, but they came out and put together a hell of a game plan, and you know, it just sucks for Nebraska. They're much of the same, kept shooting themselves in the foot, and you know, hopefully they can just get over that hurdle here. I mean, they're going to have to if Scott wants to keep his job.
They don't win many games, but they just lose in heartbreaking fashion in so many close games. As a team, how do you mentally move on from that, where you start off the season, you thought it was going well, and then once again in a big spot, you guys don't come through? You just wonder if that just gets this season rolling in a direction that you really just don't want to get into.
Yeah, I mean, I think it can go one of two ways. And I think even towards the end of last year, you heard Adrian Martinez talk about it before he left. I mean, the team didn't give up. They kept fighting. And I think, you know, for what it's worth, that's a credit to the attitude of the locker room and how they manage it. But to your point, eventually something's got to give. You know, I hope that the kids have enough mental fortitude to be able to keep plugging away, because if you tend to keep that attitude, the ball will roll your way eventually. But, you know, it's just one of those situations where you hate to see it drag on the way it has. And, you know, hopefully for their sake, you know, the ball starts rolling their way. But if it doesn't, there's going to be a big shakeup up there, in my opinion.
Christian Hackenberg here with us. What do you make of Harbaugh's decision to basically punt this quarterback competition and do a platoon now between McCarthy and McNamara?
Yeah, I think that's one of the more unique ways of doing it. You know, I can't really – there's part of me that understands it. There's part of me as a former quarterback that hates it, especially a guy with a guy who led you to the college football playoff. I know McCarthy's obviously a talent. And you want to figure out ways to get him involved and keep him around, especially with the transfer portal and all the other stuff that's going into college football now. It's a problem that I think hasn't really ever been at the forefront of a lot of decisions like this. But it's creative, man. I think only Harbaugh could probably pull something like this off and explain it away. So we'll see how it works out. You know, I said it. I think this is his most important year, even though last year, you know, he took the pay cut. Ended up taking the team above and beyond expectations, I think, and making the college football playoff, winning the Big Ten. But now, you know, you kind of set the standard. He played coy and tried to say he was leaving for the NFL to make some money back, I think. And, you know, it's just one of those things where this year he's really got to produce. So I think he's just trying to put his best foot forward at the most important position on the field.
With that being said, what are your expectations from Michigan? What do you think they'll do this year?
Yeah, I mean, their schedule plays out really well for them to get some momentum, especially early on. So we'll see. I think obviously replacing Hutchinson and Jabo is going to be tough. But, I think, like I said, there's just been a lot of change. So the talent's there, the roster's there, the leadership's there. It's just, I really think it's going to be how do the kids take to the coaching and the new philosophies? How do the new coaches come in and try not to stuff square pegs into a round hole, figure out what their team does well and let them go out and execute that consistently. So we'll see. I think it's going to come down to the second half of the season for them. So fortunately they have some ramp up time, I think.
Christian Hackenberg here with us. Let me hear your thoughts on this theory that I have with the quarterback situation at Michigan. I think he wants to play McCarthy, but he has that loyalty to McNamara because of what happened last year. You have three cupcake games to start the year. So this is just another final crossing of the T's, dotting of the I's. You got to see it in the game experience before you officially announce McCarthy as the starter. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good take, you know. But like I said, man, it's just hard. Like, it's hard to replace a guy who just wins, and he doesn't do it in a sexy way. You know, he scraps it out, does what he's supposed to do, gets the team in the best plays when he has the ability to get in and out of them. And, he won. And that's, at the end of the day, you can make every throw in the world. You can, you know, do all of that cute, hot, sexy stuff at the quarterback position. But at the end of the day, you're judged wins and losses. And that's where I think it's unique in terms of the approach. So, I get your take. I think as a fan, you'd want to see McCarthy. I think there's definitely going to be more behinds in seats waiting to see what that kid's going to do every snap. But, you know, the football coach and the football player in me is just sitting there like, how can you replace a guy who just wins and does it quietly and leads the team? And it's a unique situation.
Christian Hackenberg here with us. How much pressure's on Ryan Day? Because he's obviously showed he could be a really good coach, but he just hasn't won that national championship yet.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's what do you define as pressure in that situation? You know what I mean? I mean, Ohio State obviously has high expectations. They've been fortunate to have set that standard by the way that they've played over the past decade or so, even beyond that. But, I think Ryan's going to get there. I personally believe that. I think he's done a great job of coming in, taking over the reins, getting the ship in the right direction. I think last year, defensively, they were young, didn't really have a ton of big-time, you know, top-five draft picks, especially up front like they've been used to having. A little bit of shakeup there on that side of the ball, but the experience last year I think has been good for them. And then offensively, obviously, you know, I think you're returning one of the best, if not the best quarterback in the country, in C.J. Stroud, and that receiving core. You know, although they lost two big horses, they just seem to be reloading and reloading and figuring out a way how to keep all those kids on campus and keep them happy, which is interesting. But, I think he's going to be able to handle it. And obviously, I think they're the front runner in the Big Ten this year. And, you know, they go ahead and handle business, they'll give themselves a chance.
If you had to pick one quarterback between C.J. Stroud and Bryce Young, who do you pick?
It's just tough, man. I think they're two different guys. I think Bryce Young's, you know, I heard the comparison like Steph Curry. He's a facilitator. He plays point guard and does it really well. I got the chance to talk to Billy O about him earlier this summer. And that's exactly what he said. Just a really smart kid, really heady, understands the game, understands the offense, can operate above and beyond just the X's and O's in terms of what's being called. He can get them into different things. He sees the defense, sees the field really well. So it's tough. And at the end of the day, when you're picking that, it's the flavor, it's the schemes, do you want a dry aged ribeye or do you want a filet? You know what I mean? It's like, you can't really go wrong there. So it's just going to come down to fit. from an organization standpoint at the next level.
When you look at your former coach and Bill O'Brien, I think he'll get another NFL head coaching job if he wants one. Personally, I think he should be the OC in New England right now and not at Alabama. Do you think his next job is in college or his next job is in the NFL when it comes to getting that next head coaching gig?
You know, I don't know, man. I think he's torn. I think he likes the college game. I think he likes teaching, especially the quarterback position, but the younger guys and getting it out of them. I don't think he really likes managing the personalities from a head coaching job of what can walk into an NFL locker room. And again, this is just 100% my personal opinion. Just want to preface that. Don't want to leave my guy out to dry. But, yeah, I think if the right college situation showed up, I think he'd do it. I don't think he's going to be at Alabama past this season. If he can make that happen. But I do believe at the end of the day, he likes the lifestyle of an NFL coach, the time off, you know, his family situation is a unique one. And, you know, I think that keeps him grounded. So it's interesting. I don't know. I think he deserves another shot. I think he'd do a damn good job at either level. I think he learned a lot from the Houston situation.
Wrapping up with Christian Hackenberg. Notre Dame is a 17.5 point underdog. They're ranked the fifth team in the country. I know they're going up against Ohio State. What am I missing here? Shouldn't I plus the 17.5 points with the Fighting Irish? I don't think they're going to win the game, but they got to keep it within two touchdowns, no?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, obviously there's you got to see how that defense for Ohio State shows up. Early in the year, it got them, hit them in the butt with Oregon. So we'll see. But there's also question marks on the Notre Dame side, seeing how Freeman runs the show over there and gets everything orchestrated offensively. So it'll be interesting, man. But I agree with you. I don't think it's a 17-point. I don't care how you cut the cake. When you look at both those rosters on paper and what the talent is, it's not a 17-point difference. So I don't know what Vegas has got in their equation there, but, you know, we'll see.
Now, you know, my producer, Ryan Hot Take Hickey, is a big-time Penn State fan, went to the university. He's a Penn State sycophant. Usually he's telling me each and every year how this is going to be their year. This year he has no optimism, Christian. Are you seeing the same thing with Penn State that he's seeing? He thinks they're going to be this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think they got some young guys in some key positions that they needed. I think their receiving room is going to be a lot better than most people think. I really like the Tinsley ad. You know, my biggest thing, and I've said it over and over again, is just the offensive line play. I mean, realistically, since I've been there, you know, even when you look at Saquon's years, I think Saquon made up for a lot of some inconsistent play up there. And when you look at him, you know, he's really explosive, but in terms of consistency carrying the football, he had a lot of just 1-2 negative yard gains, and then he'd pop a big one. And that was a lot of the scheme and how they mixed it with Trace and a couple of the other guys that stepped up. But it, just the consistency up front, and especially at a place like that, you know, knowing the history, and when you walk down the hallway with all the All-Americans and their pictures, a lot of those dudes played up front and in the trenches on either side of the ball. So it's just really interesting that hasn't come to fruition. You know, they've done a good job going out and recruiting guys, but I don't know how the development's been. I think you could accredit that to a lot of turnover in the coaching roles, but you know, it's going to be a wait and see for me. You know, I think offensively they got to get an identity. They obviously got to be able to start running the football and taking some pressure off the cliff. So it's a wait and see for me, but I'd agree with Ryan. You know, I'm not like, this is the year. If it happens, it happens. You know, if it doesn't, it wouldn't surprise me.
I also think you're waiting and seeing when Drew Aller is going to be QB1. When do you think you'll eventually see the young quarterback?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll see, man. You know, obviously a lot of hype. I've been in those shoes. So, you know, it's going to be tough, though, replacing Van Wilder up there. Cliff's been there for like half a century, it feels like. So we'll see. But, you know, obviously at that position, consistency and experience rule the landscape. So I hope the kid takes the right approach this year. If he gets some chances, takes advantage of him and really builds on it, because he's obviously super talented.
Christian Hackenberg with us. Wisconsin, they'll just win that division and nothing more than that, in your opinion? Is that how you kind of look at them this season?
I don't know, man. I'm really on the Minnesota bandwagon over there.
Oh, you're rowing the boat with PJ Fleck?
Yeah. Yeah, I think getting Mo Ibrahim back is going to be huge. That was a gut punch. I like that team. I don't think Wisconsin has enough consistency at the quarterback position to just flat out steamroll it and be the guys on that side of the conference this year. You got the Northwestern inconsistency all the dang time. You never know, like, what's going to happen cross schedule or cross divisions. I really like the way Minnesota's schedule shakes out. I think the defense is going to be better than people expect. And then offensively, I think they're going to be able to do what they need to do because of, specifically, I think, that offensive line and then getting Mo back.
Who are your four teams right now for the college football playoffs?
It's going to be two SEC teams again. I think it's going to be much of the same. Alabama, it could be Alabama, Georgia again. I really like Georgia's chances. I think it's a team that's getting overlooked. I know they're replacing a lot, but, we'll see. Ohio State from the Big Ten. And I don't know, man. I really want to go and give Clemson the benefit of the doubt to take it over the top, but I think USC is going to be revitalized. So insert Clemson, USC. Someone like that.
What about Oklahoma?
I think definitely a lot. I don't know, man. I'm not quite sold on Oklahoma right now. Just that whole conference hasn't. I know it shook out last year, and there's a lot of turnover. It just hasn't really. It doesn't have the luster it once did to me. I think you're going to have to go through a little bit of growing pains. New head guy there, defensive guy. For me, I think it's in terms of where it's at, rest of the conferences, best opportunities. I think Clemson's got the best chance to go out and do what they should do with the talent they have on their roster. And if they do that, I think it's going to be hard to not give them the nod.
Christian Hackenberg, always great to catch up with you. Field of 12, make sure you check him out. Those guys pump out some great content. We'll be talking to you hopefully throughout the season. Thanks so much.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you, brother.
There you go. Christian Hackenberg on the Zach Gelb Show. Take a timeout. We'll come on back. We'll update you on some of the biggest stories in the world of sports with some audio. We call that segment the News Brief, and we'll give it to you in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. For your daily news brief, we get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
Terrible story that we read over the weekend of Washington Commanders running back Brian Robinson, who got shot in a robbery attempt. You just read this story of the weekend. You go, man, it's awful. You wish him nothing but the best. And you don't want to think about it from a football standpoint. But then there was this report that he could actually return this year. Well, Brian Robinson came back into the Commanders facility today. And here is the audio via the Commanders Twitter. This is Commanders running back coach Randy Jordan welcoming back Brian Robinson Jr.
You got my text? Boy, I'm the tape. You're a sight for sore eyes, boy. Got them Oreo cookies. What's up, baby? What's going on, man? I appreciate that. So you got my text. Good to see you.
I don't know about you, Ryan. I'm actually surprised he's that quickly back in the facility.
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah. This happened, what, Sunday? And it's Tuesday.
It's crazy.
Unreal.
I know he's a rookie, right? He played at Alabama, third-round pick. If I got shot, over the weekend, I have a tough time thinking I'm coming back to work on Tuesday.
Brian Robinson Jr., he's bulletproof.
Jeez.
You like that? That's a good one.
I don't know about that.
No?
Yeah. I think you may want to wait a week or two on that one.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. That's... I think it's trying to be funny and actually be funny. But I wish him nothing but the best in his recovery. And thankfully, when you hear what happened, it's not as bad as what it could have been. And I can't wait to see that guy get back on the field. Bruce Arians says this Buccaneers team is the most talented it's been in quite some time, courtesy of First Take.
This is probably the best roster we've had since I've been there.
You feel like it's the best roster?
But what about the O-line issues, the injuries?
Well, we've got guys that we've had now bringing along. We drafted Robert Hanji for this reason, just in case we might have lost, you know, Jensen in free agency, but we didn't. And, you know, Ryan, he'll get back sooner or later, but I feel very, very solid with the offensive line. That's not going to be an issue. Plus, Tom knows how to handle a young offensive line. He's not going to stand back there and hold the ball very long. Mm-hmm. And so the talent on the roster from top to bottom is outstanding.
The most talented it's been in quite some time? I don't agree with that. What makes this roster vastly different in a positive way from Tom's first year and Tom's second year with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers there, Hot Take Hickey?
I don't see it. Worse offensive line. I mean, Chris Godwin's back, but still coming off of an ACL injury.
Like, they still
injury.
Have a great team, don't get me wrong.
Right.
But you get no more Ndamukong Suh there. No more Jason Pierre-Paul as well.
That 2020 team is loaded.
Loaded.
Defensively, offensively, Gronk. Like, what are you talking about? Bruce Arians still on the team, so I get he's trying to hype him up. Can't say that, Bruce.
Oh, I love Bruce. And Bruce has been very kind to me. He's come on the show a lot. Is this Bruce trying to say they have all the pieces and maybe Brady didn't want me there as the head coach anymore? So let me just hype up the team to be a good guy that's still in the organization, but there's a little ulterior motive there where if it doesn't work, they had all the pieces. I said it from the start, so this isn't on me. This is on Tom.
Oh, maybe it's just, yeah, I was going to say kind of get back at Brady. Interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
That's, wow, infighting.
Bruce Arians is asked if he's concerned about Tom Brady heading into the season, courtesy of First Take. I'm just going to go out of limit. I'm going to say that Bruce Arians said no, he's not concerned.
No, none whatsoever. I mean, watching him at practice every day, he's throwing the ball better than he has in like 10 years. And when he's on the practice field, the energy level in the whole building goes up. So not worried about Tom. That's one guy you don't have to worry about.
Yeah, I'm not worried about Tom Brady either. I know everyone's freaking out that he walked away from the team from 11 days and now they're overanalyzing this press conference. People have been down in Tom Brady for 20-something years, and he shuts everyone up. Just go ask Rob Parker or Max Kellerman what it's like to doubt Tom Brady. Cynthia Freeland says that Baker Mayfield is fired up to play the Browns in week one, this courtesy of the Around the NFL podcast.
I walked up to him like, I'm so excited to see you. Like, kick some butt, especially week one. I, like, cannot wait. And he uses some expletives, and I was like, I just hope you're like, he's like, I'm going to bleep them up.
I'm going to f*** them up. Is that what his quote was?
Yes.
Is that a big deal? Everyone's freaking out about this today. What is Baker Mayfield supposed to say? Hey, Cynthia, I'm going to get my ass kicked week one. Obviously, he wants to bleep them up. It's a team that he took to the playoffs. They won their first playoff game there since 1995, the first playoff appearance since the early 2000s, and they gave up on you when you played the entire season hurt. What else is he supposed to say? This is not a big deal to me here, Ryan. You have a problem with this?
No, I don't, because you're right. It's to be expected. Baker played, you know, went the high road a few weeks ago and asked about it, so I'm just worried about, you know, winning the job and training camp. It's obvious. You know, week one is going to mean more to
He's
him.
He's going to be grabbing his junk,
yes,
taking a flag and planting it at the 50-yard line.
I know it's on the road or at home, but that would be great. Oh, in Cleveland, plants the Panthers flag,
yeah,
right
game
at
was
the
in Cleveland.
50.
Yeah. Too bad it's on in Cleveland.
Can we move it? Is it too late to move the game?
Get me Roger Goodell on line one. Roger, can we make this game in Cleveland? A little schedule change.
That would be great.
That'd be awesome. So John Gruden did speak today. He was at the Little Rock Touchdown Club, and John Gruden says he is remorseful for what he said in the leaked emails that ultimately got him to lose his job this past year.
I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's shameful. But I am a good person. I believe that. I go to church. I've been married for 31 years. I got three great boys. I still love football. I've made some mistakes, but I don't think anybody else in here hasn't. And I just ask for forgiveness, and hopefully I get another shot.
I don't know, Ryan, when I hear that, I think he should have just stopped after 5 or 6 seconds in. Play me the audio again, and I'll tell you where we should just cut it off.
I'm not going to say anything but honest things here. I'm ashamed about what has come about in these emails, and I'll make no excuses for it. It's just,
stop.
It's shameful.
And we maybe could have kept shameful. It shameful, right? Then stop it. Once you go to, but I'm sure there's a lot of people in this room that have made excuses, or I go to church, or I've been married for 31 years. What does that mean in terms of the emails that were sent? Now, is there a road to redemption? Is there a road to get another opportunity? Sure. But I don't need to hear that everyone else in the room has skeletons in their closet, or I'd go to church and, yeah, I have raised 3 kids so and been married for 31 years. So that it sounds like an excuse. Like, let's look at those things. That makes me a great guy. I'm sure there's been a lot of people that have done awful things in this world that went to church and had a long marriage. You could survive from this, John Gruden. I'm not excusing the behavior. But I thought that apology just should have stopped after the first 6 or 7 seconds. John Gruden says it's hard to trust ESPN because they don't tell the truth. Funny, he took a lot of money from them for over a decade. I think he was like their highest paid employee. Let's listen up. This courtesy of the Little Rock Touchdown Club.
I get choked up, you know, because there's a lot of misunderstanding out there right now. What you read, what you hear, what you watch on TV. Hell, I worked at ESPN for 9 years. I worked hard at that job. I don't even want to watch the channel anymore. Because I don't believe everything is true. And I know a lot of it is just trying to get people to watch. But I think we got to get back to reality. And that's why I look forward to Saturdays. Because you're going to get what you deserve when the whistle blows.
Let me ask you this. Do you think we live in a media world where ESPN specifically is spreading things that aren't the truth?
No.
Now, there are opinions that could be played up. But like, for example, when I hear Skip Bayless, I don't think Skip Bayless believes half the things that he says. And he gets paid a lot of money to say that stuff and get people riled up. But Stephen A. Smith, I actually believe he believes the things that he say. Just for one example. Now, I don't watch SportsCenter as much as I used to. I used to wake up each and every morning and watch the highlights. I think it's just the product of now I have them at the tips of my finger on the phone and watch it on Twitter. But I think for their debate shows, and I don't watch whatever that show Kellerman hosts, but for First Take, which I'll tune in from time to time, they give opinions. Do you think Mad Dog Russo goes on there and is spreading false information? Do they fall for things like ball sack sports from time to time? Sure. So if that's what he's talking about, okay. But I still think ESPN, I call them an honest product. I don't know if I could say that for all the other companies, but for ESPN, I think they're an honest product. I think what we do here at CBS Sports Radio and CBS Sports Network, it's an honest product. But if they called up John Gruden tomorrow and offered him a contract, I bet you he would push aside his dislike for the network or their integrity and go work for them. So come on, John. Serena Williams moving on to the second round of the U.S. Open in her final tournament. She says the atmosphere for her match was incredible.
I think when I walked out, the reception was really overwhelming. It was loud, and it was I could feel it in my chest, and it was a really good feeling.
Serena Williams says her only goal for the U.S. Open was to win the opening match.
At this point, honestly, everything is a bonus for me. You know, I feel in that. I mean, I think every opponent is very difficult, and I've seen that over the summer, and the next one is even more difficult. So it's good that I was able to, you know, get this under my belt, and I don't know. I'm just not even thinking about that. I'm just thinking about just this moment, and I think it's good for me just to live in the moment now.
We got some big games of college football this weekend. Oregon, Georgia, Utah, Florida, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Cincinnati, and Arkansas. Let's check in with the head coach of the Razorbacks, Sam Pittman. He says all the changes with Cincinnati makes it very difficult to prepare for the game.
You don't know exactly what they're going to do, but I think we've got enough defense in that we can attack whatever we see. You know, I think the first couple series are going to be really important to figure out kind of, you know, what they're bringing to the party. You know, some guys bring iced tea and some guys bring liquor. And you just got to figure out what they're bringing. I mean, hey, go into 2-minute offense. You'll figure out what kind of party you're going to on the first play. They come after you. You're going home. Okay, this is what kind of party it's going to be. Or they'll drop 8 and you got to dink and dunk and get down in there. So,
is Sam Pittman Mike Leach's son? He sounded very Mike Leach in that answer there, Hot Take Hickey.
Tremendous analogy. I love that.
Do you bring liquor or iced tea to a party? I feel like you bring iced tea to the party.
Oh, booze guy for sure. Come on.
I don't know about that.
I think
you're bringing your peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, your chicken fingers, your pasta, and then a little iced tea to wash it all down. That's what I think you're doing.
I'm not the life of the party, but I'm a good time.
I don't know about that. I think you're an okay time. Good time, a little bit much. And finally, Luke Fickell then responds to a question of whether he would bring iced tea or liquor to a party.
I told you before, I don't have a whole lot of friends, and I don't get invited to a whole lot of parties, so I don't know what I would do. I just know who I am, and I guess they'll find out.
Oh, come on. Light it up a little bit, Luke Fickell.
I'm not fun. I don't like anyone.
Who is he, Tom Coughlin's son? Jeez.
I don't have a lot of friends. I don't get invited to parties. I never bring liquor. I never bring iced tea. I just bring a miserable time.
What a bore. Thankfully, he didn't take a big job this offseason. I don't want to hear any more of those kind of answers by Luke Fickell. All right, we'll take a break. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll give you some early thoughts on Oregon, Georgia, Utah, Florida, Notre Dame, Ohio State, Cincinnati, Arkansas. Next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
I just saw this photo and I read an article during the break. There was a couple at Monday night's Blue Jays Chicago Cubs game in Toronto that, let's just say, had a little bit of nookie time in the 500 level of the stadium. I don't get it. Wouldn't you just leave the stadium at that time? If you really needed to have sex, I would say, honey, we're going home, we're going to the bedroom, and that's it. Not have, allegedly, nookie time on some concrete floor in a stadium. You gotta just be absolutely sauced in that case. You gotta be in the bag. Don't even talk to me about the idea of iced tea or liquor. Which one do you bring to the party there? To go back to this Arkansas-Cincinnati thing. That guy and that gal were definitely just all boozed up there. If you're gonna go into a stadium, go up to the 500 level, and that's how you have to get it on. It's kind of disgusting.
I think you're missing the whole point here. It's not about in the moment or to feel the urge. I think it's like the danger. Like part of it is like you can
crossing
say
crossing off the bucket list.
We have.
I need to go have sex in a baseball stadium.
We have done it in the 513 section, row 23 at the Blue Jays game in the fourth inning. It's not about just like satisfying a craving at the moment. It's about like we're doing this on purpose. As we know in this country, plenty of copycats. Once one person does it, then oh, why can't we do it? We should do this. This is a good idea. Let's get on social media.
It's, oh, because a few a weeks ago, now effect. This is in Toronto, but a few weeks ago in Oakland, there looked like
last week, right?
Someone was having some fun in the upper deck.
There are some perks, I guess,
they
to having
a
bad baseball
base
team.
There, though. That looked like they were going to third base in Oakland. Yes. This one, they were Vladimir Guerrero Jr. touching all the bases.
Touch them all the time. I forget what broadcaster says that, but that's a good home run call.
There's also a hotel in that stadium. I'm paying for the hotel and then...
But you're missing the point. No.
Kind of kill two birds with one stone. You're in the stadium still.
Yeah, that's, you know... That's... It's. I was in a hotel.
Do you and Lolly ever get these urges to go have sex in Citi Field?
No. I'm too locked in on the game. And by the time I'm banged up, I'm locked in on the Mets.
So if Lolly whispers into your ear, and let's just say you go to Friday night's Mets game. Hey, Ryan. I want to go to the 500 level section with you at Citi Field. What's your response?
I'll ask you a question first before I answer that question.
No, answer my question.
Are the Mets good? This year?
Have you watched them yet?
No, I'm saying, is it in this scenario, is it a good Mets year?
Friday night?
Then no, I'm saying no.
Okay.
They're a bad team.
Let me take you back to like 2013 when they sucked.
Yes.
Hey, Ryan, want to go to the 500 session?
Absolutely. I'll see you there.
It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Yeah, if that's me, I'll get in the car. I'll hold off the urge for about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, and then get home. Or just do the deed in the car. Not in a baseball stadium. That's like one of the most least desirable places to have sex.
But now you could say, check out the bucket list. Look what we did.
Mom, Dad, how was I born? How was I made? Well, it was a Monday night Blue Jays-Cubs game. And Mommy had a little urge, and Daddy met that need. No doubt about that. Very interesting. All right, let's get to some. This is just, there's no way to transition off of that. Let's just make a quick transition to some college football. Four games this weekend I'm very intrigued by. Oregon, Georgia. I think Georgia's going to win. I think Georgia's getting a little bit disrespected after winning a national championship game. Stenson Bennett is a really good quarterback. I know he doesn't get the love. Oregon, they're trying to be all cute with their quarterback position. You have a new head coach. You know he knows Georgia very well and Dan Lanning. Bo Nix, to me, he's too inconsistent. I know he had a big moment in his first career start at Auburn up against Oregon, but now he's QB1 of Oregon. I think Georgia's going to win this game, and it's not going to be all that close. Yourself, Ryan.
I'm with you. I'm intrigued, though, to see the Oregon defense, who has a lot of studs, versus the Georgia offense, because they did lose a lot, Georgia, especially in the draft. I'm intrigued to see how kind of the Georgia offense, because they're going to be needed to be relied upon more this year than last year, because that historic defense has lost nine guys. So, yeah, Stetson Bennett in year 400 that he's in here is going to play.
I never know what to expect out of a first-year head coach. I know Billy Napier was at Louisiana for all those years, but now it's a totally different job going to Florida. You have a really good quarterback in Anthony Richardson, but Utah, you think they could be a college football playoff team. You think they are the best team in the Pac-12. They return Cam Rising. They have a really good defense, and I think they have one of the more underrated coaches in the country in Kyle Whittingham. I think this game is closer probably than what people think, but I'm going to give the edge to Utah because of the experience.
They should control this game. I don't want to say dominate in the swamp, tough environment. There should be no doubt for the most part of the game, even if the score is within 10, that Utah's in control and they're going to win this game.
I don't care if I'm right or wrong on this one, but just by principle, and I never believe in Notre Dame in a big spot. First game of the season, 17.5-point dog. I know a new head football coach, but he was there last year as Brian Kelly's defensive coordinator. Marcus Freeman, that game means a lot to him, not only the first game, but the Ohio State connections and all that. I get it. Everyone wants to put Ohio State already in the national championship game. I think they'll be in the national championship game. I want to see them go up against Alabama. But to even if it's a backdoor cover, 17.5 points, two touchdowns and then some. I'm not saying that this game's going to be close. I think Ohio State will win, but not by 17.5 points.
I am conflicted. I think this game's going to come down to the Ohio State offensive line. If CJ Stroud has time, I think it could be a bloodbath. It could be really ugly.
And Smith and Jigba is going to have a phenomenal year.
They're so good. And it's just
their receivers are just ridiculous.
Unfair.
Each and every year.
They reload faster than anyone I've ever seen.
Cincinnati and Arkansas.
Arkansas is
going to win. I thought that going in, but then after Luke Fickell had no fun with the liquor or iced tea to a party, I don't care what the number is. I haven't even looked yet. Give me Arkansas laying the points.
You know, worried Sam Pittman's going to be too banged up on the liquor, and there's, you know,
that's
Luke Fickell
fine.
Coming in.
At least he has
clear
fun.
Mind.
At least he has fun. And I like Luke Fickell. That was the first time I was not a fan of Luke Fickell.
That no-nonsense policy got him to the playoff.
Yeah. Good luck. Jason in Niagara Falls next up on the Zach Gelb Show, 855-212-4CBS. Jason, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. Looking forward to football this weekend, finally. You know, some actual meaningful games. You know, I'm sort of an Alabama fan. I got family there, and I just think that it's their world, and we're just living in it. You know, even last year, I think most people think if their top two receivers don't go down, they win the championship. They're returning the best offensive player in the country, the Heisman Trophy winner, Bryce Young, and the best defensive player in the country. That will probably go, you know, unless you need a quarterback, one, and Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's a lot of Bama fatigue out there, but, you know, I think people need to tip their hat to Nick Saban and what he's done. he's got a lot of haters out there, but, I mean, he is.
Well, let's figure it out. Just because you see people on Twitter, and I don't think Twitter's a reflection of society, just going after Nick Saban all the time and poking fun at his expense. That's what happens when you're king. When you're king, everyone, and when you're Superman, everyone's trying to tug at your cape. And when you lose in a national championship game, that's considered a miserable season for Nick Saban. And there would be 99.9% of the rest of the country that would love to lose in a national championship game. So I think everyone gives Alabama their respect, Jason. I think everyone acknowledges that Nick Saban is one of, if not the greatest college football coaches of all time. And yeah, I fully expect Alabama to be back in the national championship game. And Saban, it's bullcrap that he said that they were rebuilding last year, but he knew that this wasn't one of his better Alabama teams, and they still almost won the entire thing. And I think Georgia will be in the college football playoff. I think Alabama will too. I think it's going to be Ohio State. Right now, I'll give the edge to Clemson. I'll also consider Baylor, Oklahoma, Utah, even a little bit USC, but I don't think everything comes together. And you're number one, they'll have a good year, just not a great year. But ultimately, I fully expect, and maybe we'll be wrong, and I want to see, and I don't have Bama fatigue, I want to see Stroud, Young, Day, Saban, all those receivers. That's what I want to see in the national championship game. And that's what I think we're going to get. So I'm not going out on a limb there. I don't need to go out on a limb. It's my show. I'll do what I want. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We come on back. We got to get into cut day around the NFL.